Week 2, Day 4. Scripture reading is Job chapters 38 through 40. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb? And I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shall you come, and no further, and here shall your proud ways be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, and the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where the light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth? Who has cleft a channel for the torrents of rain, and a way for the thunderbolt, to bring rain on a land where no man is, or the desert in which there is no man, to satisfy the waste and desolate land, and to make the ground sprout with grass? Has the rain a father? Who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb did the ice come forth? And who has given birth to the frost of heaven? The waters become hard like stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades, or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth the Maseroth in their season? Can you guide the bear with its children? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you establish their rule on the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, Here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or given understanding to the mind? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens, when the dust runs into a mass and the clods stick fast together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens, or lie in wait in their thicket? Who provides for the raven its prey, when its young ones cry to God for help, and wander about for lack of food? Chapter 39. Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the does? Can you number the months that they fulfill? And do you know the time when they give birth, when they crouch, bring forth their offspring, and are delivered of the young? The young ones become strong. They grow up in the open. They go out and do not return to them. Who has let the wild donkey go free? Who has loosed the bonds of the swift donkey, to whom I have given the arid plain for his home and the salt land for his dwelling place? He scorns the tumult of the city. He hears not the shouts of the driver. He ranges the mountains as his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Is the wild ox willing to serve you? Will he spend the night at your manger? Can you bind him in the furrow with ropes? or will he harrow the valleys after you? Will you depend on him because his strength is great, and will you leave him to your labor? Do you have faith in him that he will return your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but they are the pinions and plumages of love. For she leaves her eggs to the earth and lets them be warmed on the ground, forgetting that a foot may crush them and that a wild beast may trample them. She deals cruelly with the young as if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, yet she has no fear, because God has made her forget wisdom and given her no share in understanding. When she rouses herself to flee, she laughs at the horse and his rider. Do you give the horse his might? Do you clothe his neck with a mane? Do you make him leap like the locust? His majestic snorting is terrifying. He pours in the valley and exults in his strength. He goes out to meet the weapons. He laughs at fear and is not dismayed. He does not turn back from the sword. Upon him rattle the quiver, the flashing spear and the javelin. With fierceness and rage he swallows the ground. He cannot stand still at the sound of the trumpet. When the trumpet sounds, he says, "Aha," and smells the battle from afar, the thunder of the captains and their shouting. Is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings toward the south? Is it at your command that the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? On the rock he dwells and makes his home, on the rocky crag and stronghold. From there he spies out the prey. His eyes behold it from far away. His young ones suck up blood. Where the slain are, there he is. Chapter 40. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it." And then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Have you an arm like God? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Adorn yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger, and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low, and tread down with the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together, bind their faces in the world below. Then will I also acknowledge you, that your own right hand can save you. Behold, behemoth, which I have made, as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold his strength in his loins, and his power in his muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze. His limbs are bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. For the mountains yield food for him, where all the wild beasts play. Under the lotus plants he lies, in the shelter of the reeds and in the marsh. For his shade the lotus trees cover him, the willows of the brook surround him. Behold, if the river is turbulent, he is not frightened. He is confident, though Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes, or pierce his nose with a snare?" God speaks to Job by Grant and Gillian Crary. God answered Job by asking him a series of 77 questions. Most of those questions relate to creation regarding things that we see and know but tend to take for granted. They cover cosmology, oceanography, meteorology, astronomy, and the animal kingdom. Some were simply impossible to answer, such as when he asked Job where he was when the foundations of the earth were laid and who determined its measurements. At one point, God said to Job, "Surely you know," a rebuke for Job's insistence about the validity of his own understanding and his pride. God concluded by asking Job, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?" Job chapter 40, verse 2. And Job could only reply, "I will lay my hand over my mouth." Chapter 40, verse 4. The discourse between God and Job provides us with insight as to how our own hearts can be humble. When Job was faced with the wonders of God, his power, creativeness, intellect, and character, Job knew that he fell far short. The greatness of God leads us to humility, and we realize that all our abilities come from Him. There is no room for our pride when we truly consider the greatness of God. In his pride, Job had desired to speak with God, as he put it, "to defend my own ways before him," Job chapter 13, verse 15. He wanted to justify himself, but when he had a deeper revelation of God, he knew that he spoke of things that he did not understand. Job humbled himself to acknowledge the exceeding greatness of God. It is always interesting how God addresses us. He did not tell Job that he needed to humble himself. Rather, he asked questions, leaving it to Job to come to the correct conclusion. We often want a direct word from God relating to guidance and understanding. When God expects us to make a correct choice based on principles from the Bible and other evidence, what we decide reveals our heart. Did we follow the leading that God indicated, or did we do what our heart dictated? The way in which God spoke to Job can seem surprising to our natural way of thinking. God had allowed the devil to afflict Job in every area of his life, and very severely too. And yet God did not apologize to Job. Moreover, he rebuked him rather than commending him. If we consider this in human terms, we could think that God was unfair to Job, when actually the trial was a means for God to reward him. Bringing Job to a greater humility was the whole point of God's questions. Job was a very righteous man. Even God said so. However, an element of pride had crept into Job, and because God wanted him to enjoy a higher level in his walk with God, a higher level of humility was required, as it is for us. Questions 1. Why would God deal so severely with Job and sometimes with us? Two, what causes us to be prideful? Three, why does God not always answer us directly, as was the case when he questioned Job? Prayer, dear Lord, I acknowledge your greatness and humble myself before you. I will trust in your goodness, trust in your character, knowing that all things work together for my good. Amen.